news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
By the end of the week, I think I'll be one of the Gulf Coast's most tired voices. Because we're going to have to put some hours in here because we got a lot going on with Hurricane Sally. And if we could tell you about it, or we can just refer to the guy that we talked to 30 minutes ago. He's a staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams. Always timely. And not only that, but he's zeroed in on exactly what's going to be happening with these storms, usually a few days ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, just at the end of last week, he said there is a disturbance moving across the southern tip of Florida, could move into the Gulf Coast and become possibly a tropical storm or hurricane. And that prediction turned out to be, well, I'd say 100% accurate, because that is Hurricane Sally, who's heading our way right now.
On our doorstep, this is what Dr. Bill had to say.
Yeah, the storm center is now about 60 miles or so east of the mouth of the Mississippi River, and due south of where we are. And it's beginning that turn that we've talked about. It's now moving northwest at only 2 miles per hour, and it's going to keep this very slow forward motion all the way through the day, gradually turning north. And right now we're projecting it to move into Mobile County well after midnight, probably coming in right along the Mississippi-Alabama border, and then heading more to the north-northeast and going right over Mobile in the pre-dawn hours tomorrow, and then continue very slowly across the interior portion of southwest Alabama for most of tomorrow. It'll gradually lose strength, and then on Thursday, it will continue a track through central and eastern Alabama as a tropical depression, and eventually bringing a lot of rain all the way up to Atlanta. But here along the coast, the storm has lost a little bit of its intensity. The highest winds are 85 miles per hour. It looks like it's getting some shearing. And it will probably make landfall as a Category 1 or a minimal Category 1 hurricane, or maybe even a strong tropical storm, but could still produce some gusts up to hurricane force. So as it moves through our area then tomorrow morning, we can expect certainly a gust in the 60s and maybe as high as 75 miles per hour at times as it crosses the Mobile area. The storm surge along the coast, we're looking at 7 feet, perhaps 9 feet in some areas, maybe even 10, but certainly in around 7 feet. And that's going to be the case also over in on the coast in southeast Mississippi. The rain is the big problem. Right now we're looking at 8 to 12 inches of rain through tomorrow. And we could see totals of 15, maybe even 20 inches in some areas. Of course, the ground will be saturated very quickly. And after that, all that rain comes down will be runoff. So we can look for flash flooding, and also flooding in streams and rivers. And as it moves up through Alabama and continues to produce quite a bit of rain, all that water eventually comes back down to the coast over the next few days. So this is definitely a rain event for our area.
Now, Dr. Bill, with the storm being downgraded overnight last night to a Category 1 currently, and you mentioned by the time it makes landfall, it could be a minimal hurricane or tropical storm, but even still, winds of 65 miles an hour, that's enough to bring limbs down and cause some property damage.
Oh, yes, and also there's still a possibility of getting up to 75 miles per hour at times, and that's a hurricane level, so it's going to be windy today, about, most gusts will be around 40 to 50 miles per hour with periods of rain. We're right on the fringe of all that rain. But once it gets close enough to the coast here, particularly in the afternoon, we should get more rain, and the winds will gradually pick up. So that tonight we'll see gusts up in the 60s and maybe up into the 75 mile per hour range, and so that's going to produce some certainly tree damage, tree limb damage, especially and we'll see power outages through the night and for a good portion of tomorrow.
Yeah, and already around 2,500 without power, according to Alabama Power in Grand Bay, and we're already seeing reports of some trees down, and Dauphin Island's causeway has been closed because of flooding. So we're already seeing the effects of the storm. Now, Dr. Bill, once we get into this thing, once those rain bands start hitting us, do you expect it to let up at all for any amount of time, or are we going to be stuck in the rain here for a while?
Well, it's going to seem like it won't stop, but there will be breaks. We'll have sort of squalls that will move through, and these bands of rain that are sort of wrapped around the center of the storm. And so there'll be a break now and then, but then there'll be some sustained periods of very, very heavy rain. And, of course, it's blowing sideways with the winds getting up to 50, 60, and gusting over 70 miles per hour. So a lot of rain, and everything, as I mentioned, will be saturated, and all of it pretty much runoff.
A lot of people chasing their hats today.
No doubt about that.
Can you imagine that, Dr. Bill? It's this morning when I made my way in, it was like, oh, yeah, I remember what this feels like. And it really was just the beginning this morning. We were probably getting some gusts at 30 to 35 miles an hour, maybe. But already, this you just described, Dr. Bill, the rain going sideways, and we're going to have plenty of that, and the winds are going to be higher. And we've got a lot to concern ourselves with over the next 24, 36 hours, huh?
Yeah, so far wind gusts have been around 40 miles an hour at the airport, but they'll increase as we go through the day, mostly out of the east and then out of the southeast through the day and tonight. And then as the storm moves to the north of us later tomorrow morning, then the winds will sort of swing around to the west. And so we'll start out more of a easterly component through the day. Today and tonight, and then around to the west as the storm moves on up into the interior areas of southwest Alabama.
Yeah, and at what point do you think that'll be when the storm will be officially out of our area? And then explain why flooding is still a risk after the storm has moved on.
Oh, that's right. Even though the storm is well past us, and perhaps even up into Georgia, all that rain that has been dumped through Alabama will be coming down through the river systems to the coast. So, in a way, the storm is still around. But we're going to see a pretty much of an improvement on Thursday, that we'll have showers that are more scattered, and then fewer showers on Friday. And then over the weekend, it's looking pretty good. Even though there is a chance of a shower now and then, we're going to see some cooler temperatures, and nighttime readings over the weekend will get down into the mid-60s. So we've got some nice weather coming in, and hopefully a chance to dry out for a while.
And one more time before we let you go, when and where do you expect landfall, and how much rain should we expect in our area?
Again, landfall will be well after midnight tonight, and then it appears that it'll be around the Mississippi-Alabama border, and then on through track on through Mobile County and over Mobile tomorrow morning. And the rainfall we're looking at, 8 to 12 inches, and higher amounts, perhaps up to 15 to 20 inches in some areas.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Bill. Appreciate you very much.
And it's so good to have Dr. Bill Williams with us, and you can hear his forecast twice an hour every hour, and we'll have him on throughout the day to give us the latest on Hurricane Sally as it nears landfall. Again, that's expected overnight tonight after midnight, maybe between 3 and 6 a.m., and heading right here for Mobile County. So we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll keep talking with Dr. Bill Williams. Also, under tornado watch currently in Mobile and Baldwin counties and the surrounding area until 6 p.m. tonight. So that's something you got to keep an eye on, okay, along with this rain and flooding, is the possibility of isolated tornadoes.
Wow. Okay. But we know that comes along with it. I'm keeping an eye on the phone. Quinn Hillier should give us a ring here real soon, and we'll talk some national politics and even Hurricane Sally as well on FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Mobile Mornings. 8:20 on FM Talk 106.5. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig, and our friend and a guy that you can find his stuff at the Washington Examiner and also QuinnHillier.com. It is Mr. Quinn Hillier to talk about, I guess, the storm and some politics and anything and everything in between. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
So, Quinn, I'm loving your latest article here. You write, for a national audience, what it's like to live on the Gulf Coast during hurricane season, wishing away Hurricane Sally.
It's a great article.
And having been originally from New Orleans and lived in Mobile for the amount of time you have, you've been through this just like so many of us have, time and time again. And you write about the been there, done that syndrome, where even when you got a storm churning in the Gulf, if you don't know it's heading directly for you, sometimes you kind of forget about it for a little bit until it's bearing down on you.
Yeah, I say we've got sort of two warring impulses. There's the been there, done that disdain, and then just beneath the surface, there's this sort of feeling of gnawing nervousness. And the question is, do you give in to the nervousness, or do you just sort of nonchalantly say, look, they say it's not coming to us. What are we worried about? And then, of course, the track changes, and suddenly you wish that you had listened less to the nonchalant side.
Yeah, always hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst is probably the best way to go about that situation.
By the way, Quinn Hillier, I mean, you can't blame him. His roots, he grew up in one of the most nonchalant cities in the history of the planet, in New Orleans.
Yes, indeed. We tend to try to take things in stride.
Yes, yes. Let's not interrupt the pouring of the bourbon.
Yeah. So,
Lord forbid.
And when you wrote this article, you know, Hurricane Sally was actually gaining strength, and the wind was higher than it is now. You know, overnight it was downgraded to a Category 1, and Dr. Bill said, by the time it makes landfall, you know, between 3 and 6 a.m. tomorrow morning in Mobile County is where the projected landfall is right now, could be a minimal hurricane, or by that time, a pretty powerful tropical storm. But you're a guy who's lived through some hurricanes in the past, and New Orleans, I know you were greatly affected by Hurricane Katrina back in 04. Now, that was obviously a much stronger storm wind-wise, but we're going to get a lot of rain from this, and I know you're preparing for that as well.
Well, I mean, you know, I try to rush around doing the same things every other intelligent person does if they weren't smart enough to do them all 3 months ago. Is, you know, go out in the yard and see what things can serve as projectiles if the wind picks them up, and so you bring them inside, or you put them somewhere where the wind can't get to them, and you board up a few windows if you need to, and you just make sure everything is all set, and then you rush out there and get the supplies you should have gotten 3 months ago.
Yeah, and, 2020 has been I'll say it, ridiculous to this point, because we've been dealing with, of course, the pandemic, and then you have the riots and protests, and now it's hurricane season, and, you know, we kind of expected that in this very active tropical season we would see at least one storm, and it appears Hurricane Sally, well, it doesn't appear, it is on the way. But you've been handling a topic here recently that's been very, very divisive, and you've been writing about race relations in America. Kind of tell us what you've been writing about the Examiner.
Well, I've written three, or depending on how you look at it, four columns just in the last 2 weeks on the difference between acknowledging that racism is real, still exists, and sometimes we don't know it's there, and we need to do a better job of fighting it. That should be something nobody argues against. And the left-wing version of what they call anti-racism, which is not necessarily about racism at all, but it's about power relationships, and it's about a very left-wing, and I repeat, very left-wing political and cultural agenda, and they label it anti-racism, so you can't argue against it, because, of course, if you argue against what they call anti-racism, doesn't that make you a racist?
Yeah, it could.
And so that's their disguise in order to push through, you know, close to socialist economic policies, all sorts of bizarre cultural agenda items, and it's all built around political and cultural power rather than about just simply changing human attitudes for the better about race. And I said, you cannot fall into that trap of being bullied into accepting their left-wing agenda just because they call it anti-racist.
Yeah, and you know, there are racists out there, but
definitely.
But the people that are truly racist, I would say, make up a very small minority of the population. And it seems like the prescription for some of these far-left actors, the prescription for the problem, they've diagnosed America with a problem, and they say that problem is racism. And their diagnosis and their prescription ends up being to divide people even more, so that even people that didn't look at things as black and white issues, they're asking them to then look at, hey, this person's black, hey, this person's Mexican, hey, this person's Asian, this person's transgender. It's almost like it's creating more divisiveness when they're saying the problem is America's divided. It makes no sense.
Well, it makes no sense. And let me just say, even though I think only a small percentage of the population is out-and-out racist, I do think they're are leftover effects of racism, and there's some subtle racism that might affect a broader a broader percentage of the people, even if still less than a majority. So I'm accepting part of the idea that, you know what, maybe we need to go an extra step to avoid racism. So just to be clear, I understand the impulse, and I think that some good-willed people have part of a right diagnosis, okay? That said, here's an example of how their agenda is now the exact opposite of the agenda, even on race, that was there in the 1950s and 60s during the Civil Rights era. Perfect example. A Michigan college, and I know we're running out of time, University of Michigan Dearborn had these cafe-style discussions, you know, pretend you're at a cafe, except now it's an online cafe. But they're doing sets of two discussions. One is for BIPOC people, which is the what is it? The
multiracial, or
it's people of color, bi-monthly BIPOC meetings. That's Black, Indigenous, and people of color.
Okay,
and one for non-POC, meaning non-people of color, otherwise known as white people. And so they are segregating the meetings because they're afraid that if they have the white people meet and the black people meet, the black students meet together, they won't feel that they're in a safe space.
Mm.
And the black people will feel like they have to, literally, quote, this is from the university's own language, the black people will feel like they have to normalize themselves, and the white people need to deepen their understanding, I'm quoting, deepen their understanding of race and racism without harming or relying on students of color to educate them.
Wow.
This is ridiculous. I think we're going to get beyond racism without the help of the University of Michigan at Dearborn. I certainly hope so. I mean,
exactly.
I know we've got a road to hoe, Quinn, but these folks aren't helping.
No, they're not. Absolutely not helping.
Okay. All right. Well, if people want to read more of that, and a tough topic, Quinn, I think you handled it very well. They can read more at WashingtonExaminer.com. And don't forget to pick up Quinn's novels, The Mad Jones Trilogy, on Amazon. Thank you so much for joining us, Quinn.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Quinn Hillier. A reasonable voice at the table. Well, I know not everybody says that about Quinn all the time. I really like the guy. He brings a lot to the show. It's 8:30 at FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwick, good morning.
All right, 8:36, FM Talk 106.5. Turning up your voice, 343-0106. Send us a text or call us at that same number. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Hey, doing
rainy day.
Yeah, we're doing great here at FM Talk 106.5, and of course got our eyes on everything regarding Hurricane Sally. So at McConnell Automotive, what's the plan for today?
We're closed today. I'm at home trying to buy some cars down in Orlando, actually. You know, my job kind of never stops, so we're going to do that. We're going to be closed today, and I'll let y'all know in the morning about tomorrow, just to see how tomorrow goes. And, you know, if y'all have that unfortunate tree fall or anything like that, anything we can help y'all with, give the guys in the body shop a call at 251-476-4141. They'll take care of all your needs, your insurance stuff. We've got a great body shop, no matter what kind of car you got, Lexus, Toyota, Nissan, BMW, Range Rover, anything. We'll take care of all of it. And like I said, we're going to be closed today. Y'all stay safe down there, out there, and I think we'll be get through this and have a great weekend.
Yeah, and a reminder to everyone, even though the lot might be closed, the website, always open, McConnellAutomotive.com, a great place to shop.
That's right. It's the best. I mean, we're putting cars up there every day and getting cars in. Like I said yesterday, we got a couple of 21 Yukons in, and those are just, they don't stay there. So y'all need to come check those out. And like I said, everybody stay safe, and we'll let y'all know tomorrow what's going to happen.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. But check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
838 FM Talk 106.5. It is Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. And we had a chance to chat with Mayor Jeff Collier because we know, of course, the longtime mayor of Dauphin Island, longtime friend of FM Talk 106.5, and a guy that is feeling the effects of Sally probably more than many of us right now.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And coming up in that conversation with Jeff Collier, which we'll re-air here in just a second, Dauphin Island Causeway was closed just about 2 hours ago by ALDOT due to flooding. But a couple more notes here. We are under a tornado watch until 6 p.m. today. Got to watch out for those isolated tornadoes that spawn off of storms like Hurricane Sally. Also, the Bankhead Tunnel, that's going to close today starting at 10 a.m. ahead of the storm surge. And according to Kane with Coastal Traffic, it'll be reopened after the surge recedes and conditions are safe. And from our friend John Sharp at AL.com, he's got photos. Daphne Bayfront Park is currently shut down. So we'll keep you updated on roads and closings as the morning goes along. But we want to get texts and calls from you, 343-0106. What are things looking like in your area?
Love to hear from you. Right now, let's hear what Jeff Collier had to say an hour ago.
Yeah, man, Dan, it's good to hear from you. Yeah, well, we've just experienced, you know, wind's been steadily picking up overnight. We have had some rain, not a major amount so far. Of course, the biggest changes since yesterday is the causeway leading to the island is now closed as of about a couple or so hours ago. And we also lost power about 5:15 this morning. So, you know, we're already starting to feel those effects. I haven't been around the island per se just yet. Certainly haven't been to the West End. Don't even know that we can get there at this point. Mm. But I think everybody's pretty much taking the precautions and are hunkered down at this point, or at least they should be.
And the causeway already closed this
right.
morning, so you guys are already having to change things around there. And I guess this was fully expected, but it's already come to fruition.
It is. It's pretty much happened about on time of what I anticipated. Anybody that asked me, I told them if they're going to leave the island, they better leave before dark yesterday evening. And I said it's probably going to happen overnight or early morning, which is exactly what it did. I've been in touch with local ALDOT folks, so they're there and they're equipped and ready to go. But it's going to probably be quite a while before the conditions are going to allow them to be out there. So we're going to be shut off for some time, I would imagine.
I know you're concerned about the natives of the island, but less concerned about them than those who are vacationing down there, and you wanted to get the word out to them and make sure they had the option of getting off the island. And how did all that go yesterday?
Well, I feel like we did what we could do to try to get the best information out there and give our best guidance on what we expect and what they should do. And I just can only hope at this point that folks took heed of our warnings and suggestions and have taken the necessary actions. And I do think, one of the big concerns I had of people, not only on the West End, but also even on anything on the Gulf running areas, that those people particularly hopefully have done what they need to do and hopefully gotten out of there.
And Mayor Collier, Dr. Bill Williams said he's expecting 7 to 9, maybe even 10 foot of storm surge in our area. What does that mean for you on Dauphin Island to see levels that high?
Well, that's going to create a lot of impact. You know, we talk a lot about the West End and the causeway, but as I put out an email yesterday to all of our citizens, that we need to be aware that this is going to have impacts throughout the island, not just isolated areas. And so we're going to have flooding, saltwater flooding, in areas such as the village and all throughout the island. So you know, again, it's going to be a rough storm and a rough go of it. And we have done it before, but, you know, everyone is different.
Jeff will be with you during the storm, and of course you can depend on us for whatever you need after the storm as well.
Thank you for reaching out, as always.
Mayor to mayor to mayor, we're talking to the heads of state, Jeff Collier right there from Dauphin Island, and you'll also be hearing from Mayor Sandy Stimson and some of what he had to say yesterday in a press conference that was held at Government Plaza.
Yeah, Mayor Stimson yesterday, along with Mobile County Commissioner Merceria Lugood, held a joint press conference to kind of lay out their plan, what they were seeing for Hurricane Sally. Now, this was a press conference from yesterday, but a lot of this still stands, and Mayor Stimson saying the city is on level 3 alert status.
For the city of Mobile, especially in the area of public safety, Director Barber has made the decision that we are at a level 3, which from an alert status, that is the highest level that we can attain. So that means that we're taking this very, very seriously.
And, you know, yesterday, that was the time to get ahead of this thing and make sure your house and properties are storm ready, or if you're in some of these really low-lying areas that could experience flooding, to get out of town. And Mayor Stimson yesterday saying, time to take precautions.
Now, we are urging, just as the media has been doing, telling all of our citizens to please start taking precautions. This is expected to be a tremendous amount of flooding associated with this storm combined with high tides. That means anyone in a low-lying area should be making preparations to get out soon. We are staging barricades around various intersections in the city to make sure that people that would be inclined maybe to try to drive through running water, that you do not do that. So we're doing all the things that we know how to do to protect you during this storm event.
Now, according to Dr. Bill Williams' latest forecast, the storm moving very slowly. Now, the storm itself is moving slowly. The winds, not so much. But right now, moving at 2 miles an hour. Mm. And Dr. Bill had it pegged. I don't know how they caught that fast-moving storm on the radar. But right now, it's south of Baldwin County, heading west by northwest and slowly making that curve north. And he's expecting it to make landfall in Mobile County after midnight tonight, sometime in the early Wednesday morning hours. But overnight, dropped from a Category 2 storm to a Category 1, wind speeds of around 85 miles an hour, and according to Dr. Bill, could be a minimal hurricane or, by that point, maybe even a tropical storm when it makes landfall. He's expecting, at the worst right now, 60 to 65 mile per hour wind gusts late tonight and tomorrow. The winds will start out of the east, and then later tomorrow, they'll be coming from the west once that storm is in interior Alabama. He said 7 to 9 feet of storm surge, maybe even 10 feet along the coast, and 8 to 12 inches of rain, possibly as high as 20 inches as this slow-moving storm moves over our area.
I want you to get ready to clean up your property and then get ready to help your neighbors in the next few days. I think that's the mode we should be in with what we're dealing with, all this rain, right?
Definitely.
Make sure the people are okay, too. It's 845 at FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig and turning up your voice.
343-0106.
Well, good morning from Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, 8:50, 10 minutes away from 9 o'clock. And Mark Ingram from Baldwin EMC is going to make his way in here later on today, be a guest with Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile.
Yeah, 12:30 today.
They put out some good information. Some of it may seem like it's like, yeah, I already knew that. But we've heard of some unfortunate incidents where people had generators inside the, even inside the home or inside a closed area, mm-hmm. The garage, and it results usually in a loss of life. You got to have the, we understand, you need that generator. We're glad you've got it. It's got to be outside.
Yeah.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
That last storm just a few weeks ago that moved through Mississippi, a majority of the deaths were because of improper generator
usage. Louisiana, West Louisiana, and it's tragic.
Yeah.
Because so, you know, that didn't have to happen.
It's such an avoidable mistake.
Yes.
And I think that people that know better may be under some dire circumstances do that, and they end up losing their lives because of it. It's something you got to keep in mind if you are going to be running a generator.
Yep.
And looking at the text line, and you could shoot us a text or call 343-0106. Grant says some gas stations already running out of gas. He said, heads up, they ran out of gas last night here in Sims at Clark's gas station at Snow Road and Howes Ferry. So apparently a run on people getting gas for those generators just to be prepared.
Yeah, he also sounds like it.
Dollar store on Moffitt Road in Sims is closed. And a text from Tony and Daphne said, so far just a little rain and wind. Walmart is closed. But the Pig is open in Fairhope. The Wiggly. They kept their doors open. And an update from Kane, our coastal traffic anchor there. He said the only Walmart open in Baldwin County we are hearing from an employee is the Bay Minette Walmart. And they will close today at noon and not reopen until Thursday morning at 7 a.m. So only Bay Minette Walmart in Baldwin County. I'm not sure about the Walmarts here in Mobile County, but they're probably acting pretty consistently, I would imagine. Also, Governor Kay Ivey, she's going to give an update for the state of Alabama ahead of Hurricane Sally. She's coming on at 10 a.m. this morning, and we'll have the latest on that for you throughout the day here at FM Talk 106.5. Also, a reminder, we are under a tornado watch in our area until 6 p.m. tonight. You have to be aware of those isolated tornadoes that pop up from systems like Hurricane Sally. And Bankhead Tunnel closing at 10 a.m. this morning ahead of the storm surge. Kane says they'll reopen after the surge recedes and conditions are safe. So Bankhead Tunnel closing at 10 a.m. this morning. John Sharp tweeted a picture earlier, John Sharp from Mail.com. Daphne Bayfront Park is shut down. Also, we've heard of some trees already in roadways this morning. And also, on top of that, the Dolphin Island Causeway, it's been closed now for a few hours. That was expected during high tide. We'll have to wait and see once the tide recedes if that's open for any amount of time. But you have to imagine it's going to be tough to get in and out of Baldwin County during a lot of these next 2 days.
FM Talk 106.5, it's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. And up next is Jeff Poor. It's all this local talk that you've got back to back to back at one place. FM Talk 106.5. Proud to be here. I got to tell you, that's so excited to be a part of the lineup on this great locally owned radio station. Anyway, Jeff, yesterday talking politics with Alabama U.S. Senator
Doug Jones.
Doug Jones. I'd lost my mind there for a second, but really some interesting conversation. Doug Jones had a number of things to say, including sizing up his opponent in the upcoming election, Tommy Tuberville.
When you're running against somebody who clearly has professed to have no clue about the pandemic, does not know what the Voting Rights Act is, and I can give you the verbatim comment that he made where he was asked about that and didn't even know what it was, you have to get a little bit aggressive. You have to call him out when the President of the United States, it's confirmed by Fox News and others that he called veterans suckers and losers. And when he refuses to call that out, you have to get aggressive when it's clear now from the President's own words that he was downplaying the virus when he knew in January and February how dangerous this virus was.
So Tommy Tuberville and Doug Jones in that situation continue to snipe back and forth as they head into that November 3rd general election where, as of polling right now, it looks like Tommy Tuberville a fairly safe bet that he's going to overtake that Senate seat. And that was just a portion of Jeff Poor's conversation with Doug Jones yesterday. He also explained why he voted no on the $500 billion Republican coronavirus relief bill, and that was pretty interesting. He's basically blaming Mitch McConnell the same way that the Republicans are blaming Nancy Pelosi for this impasse in Congress. So
pointing at the other would make your fingers fall off. They couldn't throw a baseball around up in Congress.
Exactly right. And so check that out. That podcast is on fmtalk1065.com. You can also subscribe and have those podcasts delivered to your phone without having to lift a finger. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, pretty much anywhere you can get podcasts, you can have our podcast delivered. And with 53 hours of live local talk each week,
thank you,
there's plenty for you to listen to. Coming up on today's Jeff Poor Show, which gets started here in just about 10 minutes, he's got State Representative Mike Ball. Also from the Media Research Center, his usual Tuesday guest, Dan Gaynor. Baldwin County Sheriff Haas Mack will be on at 10:30 this morning, I'm sure, discussing what they're doing over in Baldwin County as they prepare for and enter as Hurricane Sally enters our area. Also, 11:30 a.m., he's going going to talk with Congressman Mo Brooks. So another stacked show for the Jeff Poor Show today.
Nobody wants a hurricane. Nobody wants it coming right into their county and city, but that's what we're dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have to deal with it, you might as well have the correct information. I think with Dr. Bill Williams, we're able to deliver that to you. Those podcasts, his forecasts are also available online at FM Talk 106.5. And just all day long, be listening to FM Talk 106.5. This is going to be just a long duration of a storm, Dalton. We'll be dealing with it again tomorrow morning, live on the air. It'll more than likely be basically right over us.
Yeah, and we'll have staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams on throughout the day, giving the most recent updates, and also check in a few minutes. If you missed any of Dr. Bill's updates this morning, we'll have the latest one for you on the front page of FMTalk1065.com. A couple text reminders here. Noted here, McCoy Outdoor Company open today from 9 to 6. So McCoy Outdoor Company ain't scared. They're going to be open.
That's a hearty bunch over there.
They are, and if you need any of that great outdoor gear they have at McCoy, travel safely, and they'll be open today from 9 to 6. Tillman's Corner Walmart and Winn-Dixie reportedly closed, thanks to a texter for sending that in. Also, it looks like Bay Minette's Walmart, the only one open in Baldwin County, and looks to be basically the same in Mobile County right now. And a quick reminder, this was staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams' latest forecast, kind of summed up for you. Right now, the storm is moving very slowly. Hurricane Sally, 2 miles per hour as of the last update. It was south of Baldwin County, moving west by northwest and slowly making that curve north. He expects it to make landfall in Mobile County overnight. So after midnight tonight, early Wednesday morning, it'll make landfall. Last night, the wind speeds dropped, making it a Category 1 from a Category 2. So it was downgraded. Around 11 p.m. last night, those winds dropped to 85 miles an hour. By the time it makes landfall, Dr. Bill says could be a minimal hurricane, or by that point, a tropical storm. 7 to 9 feet, maybe 10 feet of storm surge on the coast, and 8 to 12 inches of rain. Could be as high as 20 inches in some areas.
Unbelievable. And we also have established that the Bay Minette Walmart is the Fort Knox of retail sales. They ain't going nowhere.
You've only got 3 hours to get there before they close.
Well, okay. My apologies. It's about a minute away from 9 o'clock. Jeff Poor Show on the way.